reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. How will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being slain all the day. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verbum Domini. Save me, O Lord, in your mercy. Do you, O God, my Lord, deal kindly with me for your name's sake. In your generous mercy, you rescue me, for I am wretched and poor, and my heart is pierced within me. Help me, O Lord my God, save me in your mercy, and let them know that this is your hand, that you, O Lord, have done this.
Save me, O Lord, in your mercy.
I will speak my thanks earnestly to the Lord, and in the midst of the throng I will praise him, for he stood at the right hand of the poor man to save him from those who would condemn his soul.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away, leave this area because Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, and I perform healings today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my work today, tomorrow, and the following day. For it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How many times I yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Verbum Domini.
If God is for us, who can be against us? St. Paul gives us an encouraging message today so that we might not doubt the power of God's love for us. We see this clearly in what he has done for us. St. Paul reminds us that God did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. How will he not also give us everything else along with him? This is a reminder of the fact that he did not spare his own son. It should point us back to Abraham, the testing of Abraham, who did not spare his own son when God tested him. When God sees the willingness of Abraham's heart, of course, he stops him from carrying out that sacrifice. But he also tells him, now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only begotten son, from me. So we see Abraham foreshadowing the Heavenly Father, and Isaac, his only begotten son, his beloved son, foreshadowing Christ himself. And we see the sacrifice of which our Lord, of course, came to save us from our sins. And St. Paul's point in bringing this to mind is to make clear that if God did not hold back his only begotten son, will he not give us everything else that we need? He truly is a father who loves us. He gives us everything that we need, every grace that we need necessary for our salvation and for our sanctification. St. Paul then asks, who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? So we know from Scripture that Satan is the accuser. Right? And that can be seen in the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 3, when Satan is there to accuse the high priest Joshua before God. And in fact, in Hebrew, Satan is a legal term for accuser or adversary. But we're also reminded that Christ Jesus is at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. So a big question, therefore, is what can separate us from the love of Christ? Not anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword, as St. Paul says. So what links all these together? These are all types of suffering that we may experience in this life. But none of them has the power to separate us from the love of Christ. In fact, suffering conforms us to Christ. It conforms us to Christ crucified, makes us more like him. But just a few days ago on Monday, St. Paul reminded us in the first reading, again from Romans, which we're still reading, that we are joint heirs with Christ if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Suffering is necessary, right? Suffering comes before glory, right? The cross comes before heaven. But suffering, again, does bring us to a greater likeness to Christ who sanctifies us. And in all these things, these sufferings and trials united with Christ, St. Paul says we conquer overwhelmingly, not just conquer, but overwhelmingly. Right? That makes it clear that he is the one who's doing it in us. This is not through our own power, but through Christ who loves us and conforms us to himself in our sufferings. So no circumstance or any suffering can separate us from the love of Christ. But a very important point with regard to this reading and what St. Paul says is this does not mean that we are absolutely guaranteed of our salvation. St. Paul wants us to be firmly convinced of God's love for us and to know that there is no external influence that can separate us, right? No suffering, no other person, not even demons. The devil himself cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing external. This is important because we can be tempted at times to doubt God's love for us, right? Especially in the midst of trials and sufferings and temptations. But we notice again that in all of these potential threats that St. Paul says, what can separate us? Again, these are all sufferings, and Paul does not add our own moral actions to that list. Sin, right? None of the things he lists are sins. That can separate us from the love of Christ. So what can separate us from the love of Christ? We can, right? By our own free will, our decisions. St. Paul makes it clear in Galatians chapter 5 when he says, "Now the works of the flesh are plain, immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you," he says, "as I warned before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And St. Paul would also say in his first letter to Timothy that by rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith. So again, there's a balance here that we are absolutely convinced that God loves us and that even in our sufferings, he still loves us, but we can be separated from him by our own personal decision, not from the outside, but from our own will, our own free will. So again, the St. Paul wants to assure us to have this confident assurance. And if we do happen to separate ourselves from Christ by grave sin, may we be quick to repent, to be reconciled to God, especially through the means that he gave us, particularly through the sacrament of confession. And in today's gospel, our Lord is told by the Pharisees to leave the area because Herod wanted to kill him. His response was, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I accomplish my purpose.'" So a fox was characterized as sly and cunning. And what the Lord is making clear is that he doesn't fear any physical threats. Right? He's going to continue to carry out his father's will, his father's plan for him, to do the works of charity and mercy. And he will continue until it's finished on the cross. And that's what he said on the cross. It is finished. It is consummated. Right? He will work until his mission is accomplished. Our Lord doesn't move because of Herod's threats, but rather in accord with his father's will. And his mission, his desire, was to gather his spiritual children to himself and to restore them, to save them from the power of sin and death. But he also respects human freedom, as we just heard. And we do hear a bit of anguish in his words when he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times have I yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were unwilling." We'll also hear several chapters later in Luke chapter 19 that the Lord wept over Jerusalem when he saw it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." So what leads to peace is accepting Christ, accepting Jesus, the message of the gospel, having faith in him and repenting of our sins. And the Lord wept over Jerusalem because they failed to recognize God and their Savior right there in their midst. They did not respond to the grace given them. They did not recognize the time of their visitation. And as St. John would put it in the first chapter of his gospel, "The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not." So we look, as we always do, to the Lord's example, and we see in the gospel today, again, his not being afraid of threats, but also being focused on carrying out the will and plan of his heavenly Father. So we want to imitate that, right? We pray for the grace of courage and fortitude, and to always strive to keep the Lord in his will, right, as our main focus. We strive to please God and to glorify him by our lives. We also pray today that we might recognize more clearly and more often the many times that God comes to visit us daily. Remember, the Lord was right there in their midst, especially in the sacraments. May we be aware of his presence, that we may have that confident assurance that St. Paul desires us to have, right, of Christ's love for us, and that his love for us is unconquerable against the sufferings and trials that we experience in this life.